Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Lots to get to today here on the show. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will join us at 9 o'clock. We'll get into the latest in the NFL playoffs with him. Also, some news and notes. Stafford may be on the move. Deshaun Watson, how's that situation going to end in Houston? Charles will join us for the latest on that at 9 o'clock. Chris Mason, C-Mace joins us at 9:30. We'll look ahead to the Preds matchup tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks. And speaking of that matchup, make sure you're tuning in all hour long for this hour, the 8 o'clock hour. We'll have your chance to win a pair of Preds tickets for tomorrow night's matchup against the Chicago Blackhawks as well at Bridgestone Arena. The cue to call coming at the 8 o'clock hour, so make sure you're tuned in for that. And also, Preds pick the click at 8:45, your opportunity to call in and participate. If you guess the goal scorer, you have an opportunity to win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. So a lot on the Preds coming up in the 8 o'clock hour as well. But Joe, right now, looking ahead to Super Bowl 55, the matchup between Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And look, we've seen some really good quarterback matchups in Super Bowls before. I mean, you've had, you know, Peyton Manning taking on Drew Brees. You've had Joe Montana, Dan Marino. I mean, there's been a whole lot of really good matchups. I mean, how could I leave out Tom Brady and Jake Delhomme and the battle that was between the Panthers and the Patriots? As you evaluate the magnitude of this one, you've got Patrick Mahomes that pretty much everyone agrees is the next guy. The next guy really inserting himself into the discussion of maybe one day being the greatest quarterback of all time. And now Tom Brady, even at 43 years old, widely regarded as the greatest of all time. Where do you think this quarterback matchup ranks in Super Bowl history? Could this be the best quarterback matchup that we've ever seen, or at least the juiciest quarterback matchup that we've ever seen?
Well, that's a two big – those words make a big difference, because, no, it's not even close to the best, because Brady is not Brady in his prime. You know, some people don't want to hear that, but he's just not. So as far as, like, in the end, like 20 years from now, you know, you might be – these two might be in the top two for people. So in achievement, great. Maybe this is right there. But as far as, like, the matchup right at this moment, there's a pretty big gap between Mahomes and Brady. This is not Montana Marino of Super Bowl 19. This is not Breeze Manning of Super Bowl 44. You know, some of these ended up crappy. Like, the Montana Marino was a blowout. Montana Elway was one of the most disgusting Super Bowls ever. Yeah. But if you wanted to talk about going in the quarterback matchup, you're talking about two of the top, I don't know, whatever, in their prime. Two of the top five? I think so.
Roethlisberger? Pretty good.
That's pretty good. I mean, Bradshaw Staubach had one in the 70s. You had Kenny the Snake Stabler and Fran Tarkenton.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I would say with the Brady, probably the best, because remind me, Brady definitely did go against Kurt Warner. Yes. I mean,
yes. That's
probably for him. I mean, I guess you could
about
say.
About to have some Eli slander in here?
Well,
no respect for Eli Manning?
Yeah, that's good. I mean, Brady, Russell Wilson.
That's pretty good.
That's the amazing thing. So Brady, so let's see, he's got five wins, right? So he beat Kurt Warner. That's probably his.
He's got six.
He's got six. So he's beaten Delhomme. He's beaten Russ, thanks to Pete Carroll. He beat Matt Ryan, thanks to Kyle Shanahan.
You're such a hater.
No, I'm just saying. But yeah, he won the games. I mean, he lost to Eli twice, which is incredible. So beating Kurt Warner, is that the best one?
I mean, certainly not Jared Goff.
Donovan McNabb?
Maybe McNabb. I would probably say Kurt Warner is the best one.
Yeah.
I mean, Russ
especially
is
that team.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got Favre Elway. So that was another one. So Favre Elway. Now, Elway won. But going in, it's kind of the same thing as this one. Like, yeah, Elway, not vintage Elway.
Right.
You know, Peyton Manning against Russ. Not vintage Peyton. So I would say because Brady had such a good year, and he's still really good, and obviously Mahomes is the best in the league, you could put this maybe like fourth. I think you could make a case for this to be like fourth. after Montana Marino, Breeze Manning, Montana Elway. You could say this is the best matchup Brady's been in because he's still good, not
elite,
not peak Brady,
right?
But he is playing peak Mahomes.
We think
this is
Mahomes still has room to get better.
Well, right. I mean, peak as of now. I mean, this is the best quarterback on the other side Brady's ever faced for sure.
Oh, I think so. I you know,
he did lose to Nick Foles though.
That's true. He did. Nick Foles. And the fact that, you know, that doesn't get Doug Peterson another head coaching job by itself is just amazing. So, but it is like, I think the point you brought up earlier about, you know, you could look back 15, 20 years from now, this could be the Super Bowl that a lot of people talk about just based on these two guys. You've got Brady. He's already won 6. He's going for 7. Kansas City, I mean, they don't look like they're slowing down anytime soon. And look, if Patrick Mahomes stays healthy, there is a good chance he could be regarded as the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. I mean, look, I've seen Aaron Rodgers play a lot. I saw Peyton Manning play a lot. Patrick Mahomes does some things that I've just never seen anybody else do. I mean, some of the launch angles, some of the ways he extends the play. I mean, it's special what we're watching right now from Mahomes. So I do think from that standpoint, you know, 15, 20 years from now, maybe you don't remember the season Brady had in Tampa Bay in terms of the numbers he put up. You'll remember this matchup if Mahomes goes on to have the career that we think he's going to have.
Well, and as we know, with Tom Brady, the collection of rings makes a big difference in how people look at it. And Mahomes is probably going to have a few. So, I mean, Aaron Rodgers may end up with 1. And if he plays 5 more years and he's great, then he's got a case – with anybody. But if he has 1 ring, it will be counted against him. We know this. And if you have a bunch, it'll be counted for you, probably a little bit too much.
Yeah. And look, that's just the way it is. I just look at this matchup and I hear you. Brady, look, he's not peak Brady. And, you know, he's got his flaws this year. He still throws the ball down the field relatively well, but there have been games this year where he's just looked like an old man out there throwing the ball down the field. It's not anywhere near to the degree of Phillip Rivers or Drew Brees. But Brady's had his moments this year where he's looked old. He's played much better as of late. I think the offense has been kind of – it was a long time for them to get to this point this year. Because think back to like the middle of this season. And I think back specifically to that Sunday night game Tampa Bay had against New Orleans. The offense was just atrocious. Like, there was nothing complicated about it. They basically just lined up. And Orlovsky talked about this on ESPN. There's no motions going on. You're just lining up and running vertical routes and trying to beat people down the field. They still do that on occasion, but they've evolved a little bit. The short passing game is there more often than it was earlier in the season. They don't have a great running game, but Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette, they've got some ability to them. So I do think this team is in a much better position right now than they were in midseason. But that Mahomes and that offense, the way they're playing right now, I mean, if you're Brady, you got to go into this game saying we're going to have at least 30 to win. I know how good Tampa Bay's defense is, but I just don't see a way that if Kansas City is clicking like we've seen them click the last couple of games, that they don't hit 30 points. I don't care who the defense is.
Well, yeah, I don't see Tampa Bay putting 30 on the Kansas City defense, but we'll see. But, you know, I think one hope is, obviously, that Kansas City offensive line is really banged up. So you hope that your D-line just dominates and gets him out of sorts. But with this much time to prepare, I'd say Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy will have some good plays to run in this game. But, you know, it's – hopefully it'll be a good matchup. I do think that if Brady wins, it's probably because he plays one of his best Super Bowls. So that would push him over the top, probably for me.
For one of the things that for me adds a lot of juice to this is that there's actually history there between Brady and Mahomes. And this isn't the first time that they're meeting. You know, you had the epic AFC title game a couple years ago. You had the rematch in New England last season. You had the game earlier this year. Like, there, even though it's young versus old, there's still a lot of history, recent history between those two, and I think that does add some juice to this.
Well, it's interesting. Like, you bring up the matchup from earlier this year, and I remember that game. Nobody on the field could cover Tyreek Hill. I mean, he had 269 yards in that game. I think like 180 of them came in the first quarter. Like, yeah, it's unbelievable what was going on out there with Tyreek Hill. So, you know, as much as we've talked about Tampa Bay and this defense, they had no answer whatsoever for Tyreek Hill in the first game. And if that doesn't change, you're not giving yourself a chance at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's the thing. Like, you know, what the Bucs do well on defense, I don't know that it necessarily matches up great. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, Tyreek Hill, there's no matchup for him. And then when you throw in Kelce, it's just what do you do with those guys? I mean, I think Tampa Bay's linebackers obviously are terrific, but that doesn't help with Tyreek Hill.
It does not. And, you know, that, not even to mention Travis Kelce and what he's able to do on pretty much a week-by-week basis in this offense as well. But I do think, look, this quarterback matchup is still great. Look, Brady, I think it's sometimes this year people have exaggerated the decline that he's had. There have been moments where he's looked bad. He's still, when he's at his top level this year, that top level's pretty high. I mean, that first half he played against Green Bay, that's right up there with some of the best football he's played. He looked great in the first half. The problem is you followed up with the second half and you're throwing three picks.
Right.
There's been way more, I think, inconsistency to him this year than we're used to seeing.
So that Brady performance, the whole performance, like you said, really good in the first half, great in the first half. Three picks in the second half, the only reason that it was a game. I mean, like, right?
Yeah.
The Bucs run away with that game if not for Brady turning it over. Would you take that performance, or would you take Tannehill in Baltimore not having big yardage, not making any mistakes, throwing two touchdown passes?
I'd probably take Brady. Just based on the fact that I think the first half performance was at such a high level that Tannehill never got to that level against Baltimore.
But
now you're talking about two different defenses too. I mean, Baltimore's defense is a lot better than Green Bay's.
Yeah, but I mean, it's an accumulation. So Tannehill threw two touchdown passes. Brady threw three touchdown passes.
Right.
So the accumulation of yards is different.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, to me, Tannehill, that's a much better quarterback performance. You didn't try to lose the game for your team. I mean, Brady had the lead. He wasn't trying to come back throwing picks. He had the lead and kept throwing picks.
Tannehill never got him the lead. Like, that has to count too, right?
What are you talking about? They won. I'm talking,
oh, you're
about
talking
last
about the Baltimore
year
from 2 years ago.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm sorry. No, last year's.
I thought you were talking about like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, no.
I was like, yeah, I don't want
that's
Tannehill
my bad.
Performance
wasn't, yeah, no,
that
no,
good.
No, 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 no. Last year's performance, a winning performance, but not numbers.
So look, Tannehill, that game, he made the throws that were available to him. I mean, they didn't throw the ball that much. So yeah, I'd take Tannehill's performance.
This is me inserting myself into the argument with Darren yesterday.
Oh, okay. Okay, I didn't know what you were doing there.
Tannehill beat Brady. Did Tannehill beat Brady in the playoffs last year, or did I miss that?
Did he?
Did Tannehill throw two touchdown passes in that game? Did he throw passes to get first downs? And what did Brady do in that game?
Pick six.
Yeah, at the
good
end.
Looking pick six.
Yeah, right, at the end. But even before that, like, was Brady – I mean
– well – I hear you. That offense.
Yeah.
There's nothing they had. I mean, yeah.
So why didn't Tom Brady make everyone better in the building? Why didn't he magically – I mean, he's won every Super Bowl, right, in his entire career apparently, and everyone just magically gets better with Tom Brady around. It couldn't be that the Bucs are carrying him right now. That's impossible.
I wouldn't say carrying him.
That's probably overstating it.
He threw for 4,500
yards. They carried
him
in the second. Yes, he's very good. The Bucs carried him the second half of this game.
They did. They carried him in the second half of the game, but he's still been pretty good this year.
Yes, he's really good.
Matt LaFleur also carried Tom Brady
in
the second half
of that
game.
Yes, he does owe Matt LaFleur a Rolex.
When we come back, we'll get your reaction to this on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Could this be the best quarterback matchup we've seen in recent memory in a Super Bowl? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning discussing the quarterback matchup coming up in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and asking the question, is this one of the best quarterback matchups we've seen in a Super Bowl in recent memory? Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris in Nashville texts in and says, this Super Bowl may be the only time fans actually want Brady to win. So Chris saying maybe Brady getting some love in this Super Bowl. Do we think that the Kansas City Chiefs have already gotten to the point where people are tired of them winning?
I mean, maybe to a point, but I don't think we're near the fatigue level that it might get to. And not near the fatigue level of the Patriots, right?
I would hope not.
And I think there's a – so who's – some of this is personality. Like, who do you – I mean, like, I mean, Tom Brady's a polarizing figure. You know, some people don't like him at all personality-wise, but, you know, I think you got to respect what he is as a leader. But, you know, Belichick, unlikable. I mean, Andy Reid's so likable, right?
Yeah, all he talks about is football and cheeseburgers. Yeah. I do not like that guy.
Mahomes is very likable to me. Is Mahomes going to become unlikable? Maybe if he just keeps winning year after year, but he's pretty likable.
I mean, at a certain level, the more you win, you become unlikable. Like, there was a point where Steph Curry was unlikable, and I love Steph Curry. I think he's great. But there was a large segment of the population, they were like, man, that Steph Curry guy, he's annoying.
Yeah.
But you're just winning all the time.
I think I would appreciate the Warriors a lot more if KD never went there.
I would agree with that.
Once KD went to Golden State, it became old, them winning all the time. But they are still so fun to watch.
Right.
That it's hard to hate them.
And that's like the Chiefs, too. I mean, they're a lot more fun to watch than like the Patriots at any time, other than maybe that year with Moss, you know, when they,
which they didn't win.
Yeah. When they didn't win at all, when Eli Manning outdueled Tom Brady. Yeah, I think with the Chiefs, you got Kelce can be annoying. I mean, you know, Tyreek Hill is, you know, obviously, yeah. Talk about his off-the-field stuff. You know, pretty easy to dislike that guy. But when your coach and your quarterback are that likable, I think still most of this league doesn't hate the Chiefs yet.
Yeah, I mean, look, the more they win, it'll get to that point. Also, I mean, Mahomes, and look, I don't watch every snap of Mahomes, but how many times do you see Mahomes, like, in the face of the official? Like, Brady is in their face all the time. And, you know, rightly or wrongly, I know a lot of quarterbacks do that. I don't see Mahomes doing that a ton. Now, maybe that changes as he gets older. I don't know. But he just doesn't seem like an unlikable guy on the field. Like, watching Phillip Rivers play football, I think he's genuinely a good dude. But it's pretty easy to see why people don't like Phillip Rivers when you watch him play on the field. I can absolutely see why people don't like Tom Brady playing on the field, quite frankly. I can see why people don't like Aaron Rodgers when he plays on the field. I don't get that same vibe from Mahomes, at least not yet.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, the punchability of the face. Rivers has a wonderful Philp.
Oh, he's Hall of Fame status in
a
that.
Face, yeah. I'd like to punch. Rivers is a Philp king. Brady's up there too. I mean,
he's pretty GQ up there, but yeah.
Right, but that's part of it too, right? Yeah. I mean, like Mahomes, I mean, he's a pro. I'll say he's kind of ugly.
You know? He's back at it, baby.
And he's got the Kermit the Frog voice too.
Are you going to be more comfortable saying that about Trevor Lawrence once it gets into the league?
Yeah, he's kind of ugly though. Yeah. Yeah, you can't do that with college kids until they at least
they're making money.
Name, image, likeness rights. Yeah. But like Mahomes, yeah, he's not like a GQ dating supermodels like Brady, you know. He does like that. Like, I love that commercial he's got with
Rogers.
No, the one with Palomalu where he's eating the
green
beans.
The great, yeah,
it's good stuff, man.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
He's kind of ugly though.
Let's go back to our text line.
It's easier to like ugly guys.
Yeah, it is. Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, who has Brady beaten in AFC championship games? Probably more impressive than the Super Bowl quarterback. So we laid out the quarterbacks Brady's beaten in the Super Bowl. I mean, you've got Kurt Warner. I mean, it's a great one. Jake Delhomme, Eli Manning, Jared Goff, Matt Ryan. I mean, there have been some good quarterbacks along the way. But to the texter's point, you look at some AFC title games, even the NFC title game he just played, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, the great Joe Flacco at the time he was elite. I mean, some pretty good moments in AFC title games. Pretty good, impressive head-to-head quarterback wins.
Let's not forget that big win over Blake Bortles.
Oh, yes.
Huge.
Still amazing they got to that game.
Yeah, it really is. And they should have won that game.
Yeah.
Another reason that we should hate Brady is that, you know, think about that. Actually, that was a terrible championship day. You know, the Rams beat the Saints on just the most egregious missed call ever. And, okay, fine. So you got the Rams. What if it was Rams-Chiefs that year? You know how fun that Super Bowl would have been? Do you remember how awful that Super Bowl was between the Patriots and Rams?
Oh, yeah, it was bad.
I mean, speaking of, again, Tom Brady, I know I'm a Brady hater here, but, like, Tom Brady had, like, what, three completions in that game? He won?
I don't know if it was that. But yeah,
he was terrible. They were terrible. The both offenses were just disgusting. It was such a bad game. If we had Chiefs-Rams, it's probably like a 48-45 game. We would have loved it.
Didn't they play earlier that year?
54-51!
It was unbelievable, yeah.
But instead we get this crap, and it's Belichick and his defense, but Brady is the GOAT.
Ugh.
He had one big completion at Gronk late in that game that won it, so good on you, Tom. But it was an awful display of quarterbacking and offense.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Camden texts in, says, over the last 20 years, the best quarterback matchup that I can think of would probably be Peyton Manning versus Drew Brees. I can't remember who Ben Roethlisberger played in his Super Bowl, and none of Brady's opponents have been spectacular. I mean, Roethlisberger, was it Matt Hasselbeck in his first Super Bowl against Seattle, playing in that game? And then you got, obviously, you know, Roethlisberger, Kurt Warner of the Cardinals as well. That was a pretty good one. The Roethlisberger-Aaron Rodgers matchup is probably right after Brees Manning.
That's pretty good. No, that is good. Dane from Nolensville on my text line. Good point. Aikman, Jim Kelly twice. That's good. Those guys in their prime. I mean, that was, you know, this guy had a short period of time as a great player, but he did have a window. Mark Rippon was a great player of the year. The Redskins won, and they beat Jim Kelly. That's another, at the time, really good quarterback matchup. Shoot, Joe Theismann, Jim Plunkett, at the time, was a good quarterback matchup.
Where does Kerry Collins versus Trent Dilfer rank on your list?
Oh, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Get fired up, baby. McNair and Warner? A little bit down the list, but a good one.
That is, I mean, honestly, why haven't we thought about that one? It's pretty good, man. I mean, again, like Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner is not a guy anyone's going to put on anywhere high on a list of all-time great quarterbacks, right? But during that 5-6 years,
pretty good.
I mean, he was doing stuff that, again, it was the scheme too. Of course, it was the talent around him too, but he was really good.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian in Portland texts in, it's crazy to me to think that by the end of next week, Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell will have a Super Bowl ring. I also love Andy Reid, and I don't think there's anyone more deserving of another Super Bowl.
That's a great point. Yeah. Killer Bees.
Brown and Bell, baby.
Split up. Boy, I tell you what.
Ben Roethlisberger just looking around right now.
I was wrong about Antonio Brown bringing karma on the Bucks, like they wouldn't make the playoffs. I was a little bit off on that, but
he's not been a factor though. So
no, he hasn't. But still, like everyone should be appalled at the idea that he would get a Super Bowl ring. There's one other reason to root for the Chiefs.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, "I need a mock draft from Rex Road based strictly on ugliness after the Super Bowl." So you need to go through and have an entire draft of how you rank people from their ugliness to their prettiness in the NFL.
An ugly mock draft in the NFL?
Ugly mock draft, yes.
Okay. I'm trying to think right now. Can we include coaches?
Sure.
I still have that presser of like Dan Campbell of the Lions just talking about
biting people's knees
being
off.
A cannibal, and I just...
Go back to the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Don't forget Peyton Manning versus Rex Grossman. Maybe the greatest Super Bowl quarterback mismatch of all time. The fact that Rex Grossman ended up in the Super Bowl, that's got to be the worst starting quarterback ever, right, in a Super Bowl? I mean, there have been some doozies. Grossman was bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. You know, you had Hostetler.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jake DeLome's up there, too. I mean, Jake DeLome's not great.
He was fine at that point in his career.
Yeah, he was okay. He was okay.
He was much better than Rex
Grossman. Better than Grossman, I guess.
I mean, I'm going through some of the Hostetler's a rough one.
Jared Goff's got to be on that list somewhere, too. He's not good.
No, I mean, he was good that year. That's the thing. Jared Goff, that was like his year where it was like, wow, Jared Goff's good. So in that year, it wasn't bad. But as history is going to look back on that and say, oh boy. I mean, Brad Johnson is a – I'll tell you, maybe the worst quarterback to start a Super Bowl, David Woodley of the Dolphins.
Oh, man.
Boy. And Joe Theismann got it done that day. That was also, by the way, a great day for young Joe because the A-team debuted after that Super Bowl.
Oh, nice.
Wonderful, wonderful day. Tony, I mean, you got Chris Chandler over here.
There have been some doozies.
Yeah. But, yeah, mismatch is a good question, too.
Peyton Manning Grossman has to be the biggest
Manning
one.
Grossman.
Come on.
I mean, talk about bad matchup. Yeah, like Tony Eason, Jim McMahon.
Oh, man. So, hopefully this one's not that way. I feel pretty confident this is going to be a decent matchup at the quarterback position. And we've got all week to talk about it, looking ahead to the Super Bowl. Hopefully a good one. Hopefully Tampa Bay's defense can keep them around in that game. When we come back, we're going to switch gears and get into the Nashville Predators. They take on Chicago tonight. Where's the state of this rivalry right now? And could a member of the Predators be in for a special season? We'll discuss it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Preds Pick the Click coming up at 8:45, so make sure you're tuned in for that. And speaking of the Preds, taking on the Chicago Blackhawks tonight. And as we know, Joe, you go back through the course of the last decade plus, pretty good games between Chicago and Nashville, a good rivalry building up that I think really got started in 2010 in the playoff series that took place between the Predators and the Blackhawks. Then, of course, the Hawks go on that year to win the Cup. They've met in the playoffs a couple of times since then as well, with the Hawks winning in 15, the Preds sweeping them in 17. So, obviously, that's built up a pretty good rivalry on the players' part of things, but I think even more so in the fans, two fan bases that really don't like each other. And it's not the same right now with Chicago. They are not as good. Obviously, Jonathan Toews has not started to play yet this year, has a medical situation that he's going through, trying to figure out when and if he'll be able to get back on the ice this year. You know, a lot of names from the past are gone. Panarin's not here anymore. You know, Brent Seabrook's not a factor anymore. Duncan Keith, even though he's still good, not the same player that he used to be. So it's not the same. But how do you think Preds fans view this rivalry with the Blackhawks? They're not as good. They're not competing for Stanley Cups anymore. Do you think the rivalry is still as heated as it's ever been?
Before I get to that, I do have a text line, own text line thing from my wife, who thinks we shouldn't be doing that. And she asks, how about ugliest sports writers?
Oh, wow.
So that also could be, I mean, we could really, that's a deep pool of Matt.
Oh, we could do some damage on that one.
We could. I mean, you know, there's a lot of potential there.
Yes.
So maybe, you know, we can do a mock draft on both. as far as Blackhawks, I think the Blackhawks have endured. I mean, Porth was talking earlier about the Ducks. I think that's going to fade. Maybe I'm wrong. I think they had a great thing, but I think they had a window, and I think Kessler and Perry were a big part of it. I thought the Jets, there was going to be a great rivalry. The Blues have been, you know, kind of a nasty thing. Maybe the Stars now. But I think the Blackhawks prevail because of the fans. I think they and obviously the Red Wings have faded away. They're on the other – not this year, but they're on the other side. They stink. I think even if the Blackhawks stink for the next few years, I think there'll be a nice baseline of hatred for them just because of their fans.
To me, if I'm a Predators fan – like, this is when you really want to take advantage of the Blackhawks. I mean, they've been so good for so long. The last couple of years, they've been awful. I mean, the Predators largely were the end of the Blackhawks. I mean, that 2017 sweep, they've never been the same since then. And I think if you're a Predators fan, you take a lot of pride in that. That's something that you talk about. Obviously, I mean, Chicago won 3 cups, so there's only so much talking you could do during that time. But right now, when they're awful, if I'm a Preds fan, I take full advantage of this. I mean, you kick them while they're down. That's what you do in rivalries. I mean, just ask a Tennessee fan how they're feeling going up against Alabama and Florida and Georgia and all these teams. So I agree from like the fan base standpoint, it's been interesting to watch how it's kind of grown over the years. When you first came in the league, I mean, it was Detroit. That's who everybody hated. That's who everybody in the league was chasing. You know, the catfish being thrown on the ice, it originates from the Detroit series. I mean, there's everything that you wanted in a rivalry, especially as a young team coming into the league. You're chasing the big dog. To a certain degree, that's what it was with Chicago as well. You've got new pieces and Toews and Kane and Keith coming in, and they've got this young foundation, and they go on to be obviously very successful, win three Stanley Cups along the way. There's an easy team to hate. I mean, we talked about earlier in the show, you've got Blackhawks fans like popping up out of nowhere. I have full respect when I'm walking around Bridgestone Arena when times are normal and I see a guy in like a Tony Amonte or a Chris Chelios jersey. Like, okay, you put in some time here. Like, you're a Chicago fan that you put in your dues. You've dealt with the hard times. I respect that. A lot of times when I see like these freshly, you know, clean branded sod or Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane jersey, I'm like, okay, when did you hop on board here? There is some of that. Now, that also comes with winning. There are a lot of bandwagon Predators fans, too, from the run in 2017. There's nothing wrong with it, but it is different.
Yeah,
in Chicago.
I mean, yeah,
there's a lot.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's all bandwagon to some extent, but yeah, I mean, the Chicago Wolves had better attendance for about 5 years than Blackhawks, so.
Yes.
So that's one thing that's annoying about them. And the hard part about getting these arguments with Blackhawks fans is, like you just said it earlier, they can say, okay, well, we stink now, but we got our names on the cup three times. How about you guys? How'd you do in your window? You know, it's tough to have the argument with them. But still, if they're down, you may as well kick the heck out of them.
So we've talked about the struggles that the Predators have had to get things going offensively, and particularly, you know, on special teams, the last couple of games have just been bad, and there's a lot of room for improvement in those areas. One guy who's off to a great start this season for the Predators is Philip Forsberg. 4 goals in 5 games, and Joe, we had him on a few weeks ago, and we've talked about this a few times, how he feel like there's another level for Forsberg to reach. We all know how talented he is. He's a guy that pretty much every year, I mean, you know he's going to be good for 26, 27, 28 goals, somewhere in that neighborhood. He's gotten over 30 a few times in his career as well. But you always feel like there's something more based on the talent that you see. Could this be the year that he puts it together? 4 goals in 5 games. What have you noticed from him so far? And do you think that if he brings that consistency night in and night out, that can carry this team to the playoffs if he's the scorer we think that he can be?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think we're seeing anything we haven't seen before. Forsberg, when he gets it rolling, he rolls for a certain amount of time, and I think he looks like one of the best forwards in the game. And all we can do is wait and see if he can actually sustain that for, you know, you're not going to sustain this pace, obviously, okay? He's on a pace for, what, 44 goals in a shortened season? That's not happening. But can he get 30 in 56 games? And if that's the case, then I think that is going to go a long way to leading this team to the playoffs. I don't think this team can afford, you know, a month drought from him, though. And that's the one thing that we've seen from him. And overall, very good numbers. I think he's a streakier player than a lot of guys.
I think he is, too, and that's been the case. The challenge has been laid forth by Poile, by Hines, for him to fix that and to become more consistent. And, look, sometimes I think we forget, and he's 26 years old. I think he's just now entering into the prime of his career. But I have noticed a little bit of a difference with him this year just based on, you know, when Hines came in last year, the one thing that stood out to me about what he said about Forsberg is – he's got such size. I mean, he's 6'1", probably 210 pounds of just straight muscle. The dude is big. He can move. I remember the knock on Philip Forsberg when the Capitals traded him to the Preds was that he couldn't skate, which when you watch that guy now is just laughable. Whatever scout thought that probably doesn't deserve to still be in this league because that dude can absolutely skate. But he's moving this year with power, with direction. I mean, you think back to the first goals he scored against Columbus. They both start in the defensive zone. He just fights his way into a 2-on-1 rush. I mean, that's what you got to see more from Forsberg. And if he does that, I think that leads to more consistency, and it's still yet to be seen whether or not that'll be the case. But I do think he's got an opportunity to have his biggest year from a statistical standpoint. Obviously not an 82-game season, so he's not going to get to 45 goals or whatever. But I think he's got an opportunity to have a great year. Problem is, I still don't know if that's enough. You've got to find guys to come with it. I mean, right now, Roman Josi's got 1 assist on the year. He's got to pick it up offensively. Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene, neither one of them got a goal yet. You got to pick it up offensively. This team, with the depth that they have, I think the lack of depth they have in terms of scoring wingers, you need more from Forsberg. It's just fair or unfair, he's going to have to carry a larger load this year. I think he can do it. I think he's off to a great start. I still question whether or not that's enough.
Yeah, I mean, the offseason Poyle had, basically, one of the big statements out of it is, okay, all you guys making a lot of money, like it's got to happen for all of you. You all have to have big years. So a lot of pressure on him. Did you see the Forsberg
mic'd
video?
Up? Oh, yeah.
That was pretty good. Mic'd
up.
Good
back and forth between him and Seth Jones.
Seth Jones talking about he had some cheeseburgers. You know, yeah. That was pretty good. I like that. Forsberg was funny. Like, come on, be funnier like that with us, Forsberg. Yeah. We know you've got the sense of humor.
Oh, he's a funny guy. You get that. It's kind of like Shea Weber. You get that microphone out of his face. Pretty funny dude.
Right.
Most people look at Shea Weber and they think like he's this stonewall, I'm going to punch you in the face at all times character. He's not. He's kind of a teddy bear. But turn that microphone on. It's a little different.
Right. Then we crowd around and the eyes glaze over and
yeah. There's a lot of that going on in hockey locker rooms. Maybe one day we'll have the joy of experiencing that again and we'll get off Zoom and everything will be happy. But the Preds taking on the Chicago Blackhawks tonight. Philip Forsberg, we'll see if he can keep the hot streak going. And it's now time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Be the first caller, and you'll have your opportunity to guess the goal scorer for tonight's game. And if that player scores, you win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Be the first caller. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Going to find the back of the net in tonight's Preds game. Robbie and Rex Road make their picks to click and welcome a listener to do the same. Pick to Click is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, the official vodka of the NHL.
And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Looking ahead tonight to the matchup for the Predators against the Chicago Blackhawks. Preds Pick to Click brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. And let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Emily, who is today's participant on Preds Pick to Click. Emily, how are you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are doing very well. Appreciate you taking time to join us. Now, Emily, our streak was ended the other night on Friday against Dallas. No goal scorers in that game for the Predators. So now it's up to you to get us back on track here in our competition. Are you ready for it?
Ready.
So, Emily, who is your Preds Pick to Click tonight against Chicago? Who scores for the Predators?
I'm going to have to go Granny.
Oh, Mikael Granlund coming back into the fold. Just scored against Dallas last game. Playing pretty well right now with Matt Duchene. Emily going with Granlund in tonight's game. Great pick.
Yep, he's got it. He's ready.
We appreciate it. Absolutely. We appreciate you taking time to join us. And we'll see if Emily is right tonight. Granlund back on the fold. Been playing with Matt Duchene so far. Had a couple of great chances in his season debut on Friday night. And then they switched up the lines in the third period the other night in Dallas. Victor Arvidsson floats one to the net. Granlund is in front of the net. Tips it in for his first goal of the season. So Emily saying Granlund sticks with it. He keeps the hot streak rolling. And I'm interested to see, Joe, like if they keep those lines together. You had Granlund with Johansson and Arvidsson, Forsberg playing with Duchene and Cunning. They didn't practice yesterday, so at the morning skate today, I'll be very fascinated to see if John Hines sticks with those lines or if he unites Forsberg back with Johansson and leaves Granlund with Duchene. An interesting decision for John Hines coming up.
What do you think he should do?
I would probably leave it the way it was to end the game. We've talked about the Johansson line and how good they've been. And they haven't been bad this year, but they have not been dominant in the way I think they need to be. You can't wait forever to get going. I mean, you've got to find ways to get going. I know Forsberg, he's got four goals. A lot of those have come in kind of unique situations. I mean, two of them were on defensive zone faceoffs. One of them was a spring pass from Dante Fabbro, and the other one the other night was on the power play. So it's not like it's come from Johansson, Arvidsson, and Forsberg just wearing people down in the offensive zone. I realize that line traditionally has given them the best opportunity to work, but you also can't wait forever. And I did like some of the things they did after they switched it up the other night.
I mean, it's five games, though.
But it's five games in a 56-game season. It's much different this year.
Yeah, I'd go with the top guys again. Give them a little bit more time here.
How much time do they need?
I don't know.
Good Lord. I mean, they've had all offseason. You got to get going at some point. I'm so tired of this
chances stuff. Finish. You're paid to finish. Finish.
Right, but do you think? I mean, why does switching this? Why does switching these lines make that more likely? I mean, these players have to play well, right? I still think there's a long history of those guys together giving you easily your best combination of offensive players that you've had over the history of the franchise? The best line
probably
they've ever had?
Yeah, probably the best line together. That history has not been as frequent in the last calendar year.
No, but in the bubble it was great.
Three games. Four games.
Right, but I mean, that's – okay, so there's four games and now we've had five games. So now you're giving up on it again?
I'm not giving up on it. You have to take charge and produce, and they're not doing it.
Yeah. But switching up the lines to me is, I mean, like there's only so much of that you can do to elicit something. Like Johansson, do it. Okay, so if you give him a different line mate, he's going to do it? He's got to do it. You're right.
I'm just interested to see if it's Forsberg and Duchesne. They played really well together last year. Look, I'll put it to you this way. I think in a perfect world, they'd love to have that first line split up because you'd have more balance that way. I think that's why they tried it last year to start with, is because in a perfect world, you'd love to have Arvidsson and Johansson playing together with whoever on the left wing and still be productive. And I think you'd love to have Forsberg and Duchesne playing together and kind of have that balanced attack with two lines that you just can't key in on one. Problem is, every time you take Forsberg off that line, it's just not as productive. So that's the problem that they're dealing with right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to be very fascinated to see what they do. And as we know, could change very quickly. Could go right back to it in the second period if it's not working out.
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, I hear what you're saying. They wanted the balance last year. They didn't find it. But that line, I just really, really liked what they looked like in the bubble, and I don't think that there's any combination that gives you that potential.
So without further ado, Emily has made her pick on Preds Pick to Click. Ryan Porth, would you like to lead us off today? Who is your pick to click in tonight's game for the Predators against Chicago?
I'm going to have to ride the hot hand. I'm going with Philip Forsberg.
Okay.
He's right now the only player that I can trust that's going to produce or not produce finish right now. He has 4 goals in 5 games. It's a little too much to ask him to continue at this pace, but I'll say that he continues it tonight.
Okay. Joe Rexroad, your Preds pick to click in tonight's matchup against Chicago would be who?
I'll go with a cold hand who's due, and I'm going to say it's three possibilities. I'm going to go Yossi.
Okay.
I'm going to go Yossi.
Now that's kind of, you know, obviously Roman Yossi set the bar incredibly high for himself. 65 points last year in 69 games, won a Norris Trophy. It has been a relatively slow start for him offensively, just 1 assist through the first 5 games. I realize he's a defenseman, so obviously his primary job is playing defense, but I would expect more offense to start to come from Roman Yossi. Like, of all the guys struggling from a production standpoint right now, the one by far I have the most confidence is Yossi, just based on his track record and his career. So that would be a pretty good pick. I'm going to go a different route. I'm going to say Luke Cunnan finds his way back on the board tonight. 2 goals to begin the season, has been relatively quiet since then. I think Cunnan finds a way back on the board tonight. I like the fact that he ends up around the net. That's what I've noticed from him so far. He's always got his face around the net in the blue ice. He's getting pushed around by the other team in there, kind of creating some havoc. I like that. I think he finds one on the doorstep tonight. A team that's really difficult to get to the middle on is Dallas. Team not so difficult to get to the middle on is the Chicago Blackhawks. I think the Predators should have more success in that area tonight. So I'm going off the board a little bit. Luke Cunnan, Ryan Porth going with a hot hand, Philip Forsberg, Joe Rexroad going with the captain, Roman Yossi, to find his way on the back of the net tonight. Let me ask you this. Do they score on the power play tonight? They've had a lot of looks recently. Forsberg finally broke through the other day. They've got 2 power play goals on the season. Do the Preds win the special teams battle tonight? They score on the power play.
I'll say yes. Okay. Although this is where the more you talk about something, you know, the more you risk making it this snowballing thing. But I think this is a great opponent to get off the schneid against here.
do they allow a power play goal? I mean, that has been obviously a huge problem in the last couple of games. Do they get things corrected tonight? Patrick Kane and company on the power play.
I'll say they also allow a power play goal.
Okay. So an active
night. Go with the hot hand.
An active night on the special teams. Ryan Poore, do the Preds score a power play goal tonight, in your opinion?
Yes.
Okay.
They might score multiple, actually.
Ooh. How about that?
If there is an opportunity to break through on the power play, it's against Chicago.
That is true. Chicago's not been great on the penalty kill the last couple of years. I will also say they score a power play goal, but I'm with Joe. I think they'll also give up one or two on the power play. That penalty kill, you don't want to overreact two games, but, man, that's a heavy concern, giving up eight power play goals in the last two games. So the Preds taking on Chicago tonight, 7 o'clock, face-off, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. When we come back, it's that time of the week. We'll get into the NFL playoffs and the NFL headlines with our man Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.